Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters, both here and on Zoom. What a blessing to step away into our ecclesial sanctuary the first day of yet another week. We desperately need this quiet time to come together around our precious hope, to reset, to stop, and to meditate. Without this time, our weeks will just roll one into the other. We know this because our lives so easily have a way of becoming full without us even noticing. This has become increasingly more noticeable for me over the years, and especially since the introduction of family life. We often think in our various stages of life that there will come a time when things will settle down, when life becomes a little quieter, and we'll have more time to focus on the things that really matter. But that time sometimes feels so far away. Instead, responsibilities increase, expectations grow. Before long, our days are full from beginning to end. We live lives constantly demanding our attention. There's always another email or message to reply to, another problem to deal with, work, school, family, ecclesial, financial responsibilities. Most of these things aren't wrong in themselves. In fact, many of them are good. But if we're not careful, they have a way of filling every available space, squeezing out what is important. To attempt to combat this, we've tried as a strategy or antidote to keep one simple focus for our family. Simple is usually the best approach. And that's simply to try and love God. Not most of the time, not just when life is easy, but where we can in all situations. To love him with all our heart as consistently as possible. The thinking is that by focusing on this one thing, despite busyness, most spiritual areas in life will be taken care of. Try was the operative word here, not saying that we've achieved that. We try as a family to read, pray, and be grateful on a daily basis, but there are days where time gets away. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he didn't just say to love God with all your heart, but he expanded it much further. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind, with all thy soul and with all thy strength." We know these words, they're very familiar to us as we read them. But we can easily read over them without really letting them examine us. There's actually much more than just loving God with all our heart, which is what I've always said to my kids. Jesus reveals there's four components to loving God, and that's what we'd like to focus on this morning. So let us briefly pause over these familiar words, these four aspects of loving God, and use them for a moment of self-examination and ask ourselves, can we love God more fully? One umbrella question split four ways. Do I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength? Maybe our initial response is simply, how do we actually love God in all these ways? Is there a difference between them? Can we differentiate between them? Am I good at one aspect of this love, but not quite as good at another? Maybe our response is, I'm sure I could love God more in these ways. Maybe we feel like we have it nailed down, and if so, that's fantastic. Or maybe, like me, you hadn't given it a lot of thought. If after the exhort we feel there is room for improvement, then that will be good, and this morning might have been helpful. And maybe a simple strategy or two will be offered as well to improve our love for God. I suspect that if we are of those who feel like we are struggling a little with our love for God, loving God with our everything, it's not because we've stopped believing or deliberately turned away, but because life, as I said at the beginning, has gradually become so full that our attention has been dragged away from God. How that squeeze on our time looks or happens probably differs for each one of us. For me, the busyness of family life. For those younger, there will be a different set of distractions and pressures. Likewise, for those who are older, past the busy family period. Where once you were looking after children, Next, you might find you're looking after parents. In our lives, responsibilities shift. Maybe there are those amongst us who are in a period of life where you are undistracted. I feel that one of the greatest dangers of our age isn't being pulled away from God by intentional disobedience, but the impact of our fast-paced, pack-filled lives seeing us simply drift little by little, almost unnoticed. God still matters. The truth definitely matters. We still come to the meeting and read our Bibles and pray, but somewhere along the line, other things quietly begin occupying more of our heart, our thoughts, our time, and our energy, and maybe just maybe pushing God a little to the side. Drifting is dangerous because it is so subtle. A boat doesn't suddenly find itself far from shore. It gets there one gentle current at a time. That's why Jesus says to partake regularly in remembrance of me, and why Paul tells us to examine ourselves. Weekly remembrance gives us precious opportunity to re-anchor and perhaps combat any drift that is subtly happening. Jesus begins with the heart because everything else flows from there. Love God with all your heart. The Bible uses the heart to describe what we truly love, what captures our affections, and what sits at the centre of our lives. Proverbs tells us, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And Jesus also in the Beatitudes said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Pure doesn't mean perfect, it means undivided, a heart that has one true centre. Perhaps that's one of the greatest challenges for living in the last days before Jesus' return. We don't have hardened hearts, but is it possible that we can drift towards a divided heart? God hasn't been rejected completely, he's just simply been forced to compete with everything else. I've heard it said somewhere that in generations past, before the technological and transport age, you could live and die in a town without ever leaving it, and your total knowledge accumulated would equal to that found in an average newspaper. That sounds like a life free of distraction. But alas, we don't live in that age, and we need, in our age, to love God with all our heart. To do this, we need to make him the centre of our lives, building everything else in our lives around him. And there's a good scriptural example when we consider the tabernacle, where the children of Israel were told to build it in the middle of their encampment, not at the side or the edge, but in the centre. So this week, to help us develop this aspect of loving God, perhaps we could try giving God the first part of each day, before the phone, before the news, before the rush begins, by spending a few quiet minutes with a short prayer, meditation, or a short passage from Scripture, simply to recenter our hearts on him. Then Jesus says, love God with all your mind. Our minds are constantly being shaped. Every day we're surrounded by noises and voices telling us what success looks like, what happiness is, what should worry us, what deserves our attention, what ought to come first. And Brother Dave last night talked to our young people about these voices. Without realising it, these voices, unchecked, can begin shaping the way we think more than God's word does. The voice of the world is louder than ever before, with the technologies we each carry personally. With the press of a button, our phone is switched on and the world is in our hands, our ears and our eyes. Paul urges us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This renewal doesn't happen accidentally. It is deliberate. And it only happens when we bring God's thinking into our everyday lives. It happens when, instead of allowing anxiety to take over, we pray. We cast our care upon him. Instead of following the world's wisdom, we ask what God says. When God's word becomes the only lens through which we see our circumstances, not TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram. The two lenses, the word of God and the world, are in most cases polar opposites. Our Lord Jesus lived that way. Even when he was tempted in the wilderness, his mind turned again and again to Scripture. His confidence rested in his Father's word rather than his own feelings. This week, in an endeavour to love God with all our mind, we could try each day to pause and apply a verse from Scripture to just one of our decisions, responses, actions or interactions. It could be at home or at work or with friends or in the family environment. Just bring God's thinking into our day. And this, of course, is on top of our daily readings, not in replacement of them. We could monitor how much time we spend scrolling mind-numbing subjects on our devices, reduce that time, that wasted time, and replace it with something spiritually nourishing. It doesn't even necessarily mean putting a device down, but maybe change the content to something beneficial, spirit-based. We could look up things like evidence that proves the Bible true, fulfilled Bible prophecy, how God speaks to us through nature, intelligent design, something like this. If doomsday scrolling has become a habit, then make it something worthwhile. Jesus then tells us to love God with all our soul. Our soul speaks of the overall direction of our life as human beings. In theory, every one of us is heading towards the kingdom. That's our destination. The question is whether the direction of our daily habits is actually taking us closer to that destination, or simply carrying us along with the current of everyday life. Busyness can make us feel like we're making progress simply because we're constantly moving, but activity isn't the same as direction. David is a beautiful example of someone who loved God with all his soul. We consider his life. It was full to the brim. Great victories, painful failures, deep trials. It says of David that he died old and full of days at the age of 70. His life was so busy. Yet his soul never stopped longing for God. And we know this because of the words that he said on his deathbed. He didn't look back with regret, but with confidence in God's promises. 2 Samuel 23:5, David says, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire." David's deepest desire was not wealth, power, or even the kingdom he ruled over at the time. It was God's everlasting covenant. Even at the end of his life, his soul rested in what God had promised, rather in the things that he had achieved. And his final words remind us that to love God with all our soul is to place our deepest hopes, securities, and longings in God alone and the future that he wants for us. And when we consider the greater David, our Lord Jesus, his whole life, his whole soul moved steadily towards accomplishing his Father's purpose. Day after day, choice after choice, his life was shaped by where he was going. This week, in an attempt to love with all our soul, we could, as part of our night prayers, thank God for a different aspect of the kingdom that awaits us. Be specific. Really bring our destination into focus. Those eternal things seen only through the eye of faith. Strengthen our resolve by creating habits like this, or something similar that keep the kingdom firmly on our radar. God has so much in store for us. There is so much to be excited about. We could maybe count our blessings each day, which will serve to remind us of the invisible hand of God working in our lives, guiding us towards his kingdom. This world that we live in, that we can see, with all of its lust and cares, is transient and will, in the future, pass away. Finally, Jesus tells us to love God with all our strength. Perhaps this is where many of us feel the challenge most keenly, when we're simply spent. Life can leave us physically tired, mentally exhausted, and emotionally drained at times. We often tell ourselves that we'll give more to God when life becomes easier, when work settles down, when the children are older, when we have more time, when this busy season we are living in passes. But life has always been demanding. Has there ever been a generation where serving God happened because people had plenty of spare time and energy? Perhaps. Loving God with all our strength means offering Him our lives as they are now, today. Not in a day down the track where we will have more time. It means serving Him in the middle of ordinary life, busy life, not waiting for extraordinary or perfect circumstances. And when we think about strength, we can't help but cast our eyes to our ultimate example, our Lord Jesus. We think of His life. He walked everywhere He went. He stopped for people. He allowed interruptions. We know He became weary. He sometimes had to pull away from the people. He experienced hunger and exhaustion. He encountered fierce opposition and even rejection. Yet He continued giving Himself to His Father and to those around Him. And finally, He gave His body completely upon the cross. This week, even when we are tired or time-strapped, summon the strength to love God. Challenge ourselves to do something for God, even something small. It may be a phone call, writing a card, a visit, a quiet act of kindness. It could be going to a class when we're tired. Whatever it is, let it be done. Let it be something done consciously for God. When we love, even when we are tired, we are loving Him with all our strength. As we gather around the emblems this morning, we remember Jesus, who loved His Father with an undivided heart, a renewed mind, a life moving steadily towards God's purpose, and a strength that was poured out completely in obedience. Our examination this morning around the emblems, it's not about being disappointed if we feel like we've fallen short, but it's an opportunity to move forward, reaching forward in our quest for transformation. And Jesus, who gave Himself for us, is there to help us. Jesus, who calls us to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, also knows our weakness. He understands the pressures of ordinary life because He lived them Himself. He knows what it is to be tired, what it is to carry responsibility. He knows what it is to face constant demands upon His time and energy. And in all of this, He shows us how to remain faithful. As we take the bread and the wine this morning, perhaps the greatest blessing of this moment is that it allows us to stop. God has given us this opportunity to reset. For just a little while, the noise is silenced. The demands of life have been set aside. We are reminded again what matters most. That we are children of our loving Father in heaven, and He loves each one of us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. As we partake of the bread and wine this morning, let's find space in our lives to love God in return more fully. If we've begun to drift, this is a time to refocus our hearts on Him, to put out our spiritual anchor. If our love for Him has become divided by the pressures of life, this is a time to put Him first again. If our thinking is starting to be shaped by the world more than His word, this is a time to renew our minds and restore the correct balance. If we've somehow lost sight of His kingdom and become caught up in the things of today, this is a time to refix our eyes on the hope of the kingdom that lies ahead. And when we're feeling physically weary or spiritually drained, Jesus should inspire us to keep going. He shows us how to give our all. So let's leave today encouraged. Jesus has shown us by His example how to love our Father fully with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. May we continue in His example until the day when faith becomes sight and we meet Jesus in the kingdom.